Radio Prague News.
The Czech Veterinary Authority has begun checking meat imports from Germany to prevent the spread of the E. coli food bug. Czech authorities have released a Pakistani terror suspect due to Pakistan's failure to supply the extradition documents. And some Czech dentists have threatened to quit public insurance system if basic tooth fillings are not taken out from public insurance policies. The Czech Veterinary Inspection launched on Monday checks of meat imports from Germany to curb the spread of the E. coli food bug. A spokesman for the State Veterinary Administration said the inspections involving shipments of pork and beef from Germany, where the infection first appeared, are set to continue until the end of the week. The cause of the E. coli outbreak has not yet been determined. Spanish vegetables and German-grown sprouts previously believed to have caused the mutated E. coli outbreak were cleared. The infection has so far killed 22 people, while hundreds of others contracted the disease. Czech authorities released on Monday Pakistani terror suspect Muhammad Zafar over Pakistan's failure to supply the required extradition documents, the news website Ekonom.cz reported. Mr. Zafar was detained in Prague in late April on an international arrest warrant. He is wanted in Pakistan for questioning related to a 2006 bombing of the U.S. consulate in Karachi, which killed a U.S. diplomat and three Pakistani citizens. A spokeswoman for the Czech Justice Ministry said the terror suspect was released on Monday morning. However, Czech law does not allow extradition to countries where death penalty could be imposed on the suspect. Some Czech dentists have threatened to cancel their contracts with health insurance companies if basic tooth fillings are not taken out from public insurance policies. The head of the Czech Dentists Association, Pavel Hrs, said on Monday that many of his colleagues only work with a few selected insurance companies already and demand out-of-pocket payments from patients covered by other policies. The Czech Health Minister Leoš Heger suggested basic tooth fillings will be taken out of public insurance, but changed his mind after pressure from the coalition Public Affairs Party. Mr. Hrs, however, did not specify how many Czech dentists would consider getting out of the public insurance system. The Czech Republic's industrial output grew in April by 4.7% year-on-year after a revised increase of 9.2% in March, according to government figures released on Monday. April's output growth was the lowest in 16 months. Manufacturing grew by 6.1% in April, down by around 5.5% registered in the previous month. Analysts believe pressure on lowering costs and limited external sources of financing were the major factors behind the slower growth. The Czech Culture Ministry has decided to merge Prague State Opera and the National Theatre. News agency ČTK reported on Monday, citing the opera's director Oldřich Černý. Prague State Opera will cease to exist as an independent body in January 2012, after more than 120 years. Mr. Černý said that the ballet ensembles of the National Theatre and the State Opera will merge into one, while their choirs and orchestras will remain separate. By merging the two institutions, the ministry plans to save on administrative costs. However, the move is opposed by employees of both theatre houses. On Monday, the Prague State Opera is holding a gala concert in support of its independence. More than 15,000 people also signed a petition to keep the opera house separate from the National Theatre. And finally, a brief look at the weather. Hot and occasionally wet weather is set to continue for the next few days with storms in places. Daytime highs should range between 25 and 29 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, Prague's Ruzyně Airport wins the prestigious Eagle Award for most deserving airport. We'll give you the details. We'll bring you a summary of the sports news and in this week's one-on-one talk to Vladimír Dlouhý, a former trade minister, currently member of the Czech government's advisory council. And of course we'll wind up as usual with a Czech lesson. All that coming your way, so please do stay with us. Prague's Ruzyně Airport has received the International Air Transport Association's prestigious Eagle Award in recognition of the airport's outstanding achievements in areas such as customer satisfaction and transparency. It is the first time that an airport from the former Eastern Bloc has received this prize. Sarah Borufka spoke to Michaela Latrinova, the spokeswoman for Prague Airport, about the prize and what it means for Prague's international airport.
As far as I know, and this is what we received as Prague Airport today, is the award called Eagle Award for the most deserving airport. And it's the only airport in the whole world which receives this award.
And which categories were taken into consideration and where did Ruzyně Airport do especially well?
There were a few categories. One of them was, of course, the transparent and constructive approach toward the airlines which operate at our airport and also our incentive scheme towards the airline. Then customer satisfaction with our services and, of course, even some substantial development of the airport.
And what significance or impact will this have on your airport?
I guess since we're a smaller category airport, we're not the biggest airport in the world. It's very motivating for the future and for our further development, of course. It's great to know that our approach towards airline is considered or perceived as good as basically IATA said, because there were some rumors in the last year that our approach maybe wouldn't be as transparent in the future. But it is, and that's very good for us. And of course, the customer satisfaction with our services is also very important, and it's always great to receive some recognition and to know that you're doing your job well.
And in terms of the region, how does Ruzyně Airport compare to other airports within Central and especially Eastern Europe?
As far as I know, we are the only airport from Eastern Europe who has received this award in the last couple of years. So I guess it's even a bigger honor for us.
And lastly, may I just ask you how many airlines operate out of Ruzyně and how many passengers you get yearly going through the airport?
During the summer season, there are 48 airlines connecting Prague with 128 destinations around the globe. And we usually handle around 12 million passengers. Last year it was 11.5, but this year we expect some increase, 4% increase in passengers, which means around 12 million passengers in the year 2011.
Michaela Latrinová there, spokeswoman for Prague Airport, on the line to Sarah Borufka. And now, this being Monday, we're offering you a roundup of the sports news, for which I'm joined by Jan Wellinger.
And we begin first with football. On Saturday, the Czech national squad drew 0-0 with Peru in the Three Nation Brewery-sponsored Kirin Cup in Japan. The Czech squad, lackluster and missing several regular starters, played a sloppier first half with the exception of goalkeeper Petr Čech, who was sharp and denied the Peruvians to keep the score at zero, stopping a ball by Luis Advincula from close range. Soon after, the Czechs created their first scoring chance when Tomáš Nesid moved up but was brought down at the edge of the area. The Czech team then played better in the second, but it was Peru who came close again when Farfán headed the ball to the post. Peru ended the tournament with 2 points and two draws. The Czech Republic faced the title holders Japan in the final match in Yokohama on Tuesday. Despite the less-than-inspiring performance in Japan, there was at least some good news for the Czech squad at the weekend regarding qualifying for Euro 2012. The team got a boost from Minnows Liechtenstein unexpectedly when that team beat Lithuania 2-0, their first win since October 2007. The upset should improve the Czech squad's chances of securing second spot in Group I, from which it may be possible to qualify either directly for the tournament or by winning a preliminary playoff. Powerhouse Spain topped the group with 15 points, followed by the Czechs with 9, Scotland and Latvia 4, and Liechtenstein with 3. In other football news, Viktoria Žižkov at the weekend secured second spot in the second division with a win over Most, meaning the club will return to the top division, the Gambrinus Liga, next season. The team defeated Most 1-0, leading players to crack open the champagne afterwards. Žižkov becomes the second Frog club to return to the top flight following Dukla. The capital is home to three other teams in the league, Sparta, Slavia, and Bohemians 1905. While all eyes were on the French Open at the weekend, back in the Czech Republic, tennis fans were able to watch an historic exhibition match in mixed doubles between legendary former players Ivan Lendl and Hana Manlíková against Jana Novotná and Miloš Mečíš, playing in the final game of the UniCredit Czech Open. Lendl and Manlíková were downed in the tiebreak, losing 6-5. Mečíš afterwards recalled that in his professional career, he had only ever beaten Lendl once, but he gave most of the credit this time to his doubles partner. Lendl, meanwhile, told reporters that he was looking forward to a repeat next year. Speaking of legends, hockey goalie Dominik Hašek, who played in the NHL, the Czech Hockey League, and most recently the KHL in Russia, is taking a year off in search of adventure in the mountain bike saddle. The goalie, who has two Stanley Cup rings and a gold medal from Nagano 98, is planning to bike in Kamchatka and Patagonia. That doesn't mean that the player is calling it quits where hockey is concerned, though. Hašek has already made clear he plans to train, prepare, and return to hockey in the 2012-2013 season. The Czech media noted that the goalie, famous for a floppy goaltending style, was training again just days into his break. He'll be 47 years old at the time of his planned return. That's all the sport for today.
My thanks to Jan Wellinger for that sports report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our in-depth interview of the week, this time hosted by Jan Richter.
What will Germany's decision to phase out nuclear power mean for the Czech Republic? Can the Czech government implement far-reaching reforms without credibly tackling corruption? And is the country's fiscal strategy too ambitious? These are some of the issues we discuss with Vladimír Dlouhý, our guest in this edition of One on One. Mr. Dlouhý, a member of the Czech government's advisory board NERV and a consultant for the investment firm Goldman & Sachs, served as the country's industry and trade minister between 1989 and 1997. In that position, he spearheaded the controversial decision to complete second Czech nuclear plant. Some two decades later, Vladimír Dlouhý still believes that for the Czech Republic, nuclear power is the way to go, and says that the German government's decision was wrong.
As a Czech, or as somebody who was responsible for relaunching the construction of nuclear power plant Temelín, and as a person, as Vladimír Dlouhý, I'm very strongly convinced that this is not the right decision. That this is the decision which, limits, I would say, even humanity, at least the Europeans, European people, from using a source of energy which indeed is not easy to use, but at the same time provides environmentally free, with all the problems I'm claiming, environmentally free, at the end of the day also efficient in terms of economic issues, and also generally very clean and I would say neat source of energy, which of course requires a lot of effort, engineering, construction, scientific, regulatory, financial, legal, even environmental. But I still believe that all this effort would be a price worth to pay for the continuation of nuclear energy. So I'm sorry to see such a decision. Then there are additional comments that when we say that each country has its right to go ahead with a proper energy mix, we in the Czech Republic, we believe that we have the right to continue.
Why does Czech Republic embrace nuclear power? Because it seems that we didn't need Temelín because we now, with the two blocks there, export a large share of the power that's produced there. And it also seems that we won't need the additional planned two new blocks, two new reactors at Temelín, as the environmentalists point out. And they also say that we should rather invest in energy efficiency. Czech Republic is one of the most energy-intensive countries in Europe. Why is it a good solution or the right solution for the Czech Republic?
Well, the truth is that we are now sitting here in the beginning of June 2011, when due to the recent financial economic crisis, the general economic output slowed down, and also the forecast is much less ambitious than they were, let's say, 5 years ago. But remember the very same kind of discussion in this country, in Czech Republic, between 2006 and 2008, when the forecasts were completely different. And that time, it was clearly said that it's not only about the total capacity of power generation, electric power generation in our country, but it's about the proper structure, the proper mix. It's about the environmental issue. Do remember that if we say no for to nuclear, then we are must immediately answer the question: what is going to be the substitute? We are burning a lot of lignite in our country to produce electricity. There are additionally very strong environmental issues. Remember the discussion about opening the new lignite mines. What kind of environmental and country-wise issues it has, and how many protests are against that. So I first of all, I'm saying that it is not so clear that in Czech Republic the capacity installed is enough. Maybe, yes, we are exporting, and we will be exporting. Have a look what the decision of German government made with the share prices of ČEZ, the main Czech electric utility. So it's not only about the total capacity, but it's also about the structure of producing the electric power. But again, you know, it's not only about pure energy sector discussion. It's about the approach of the society to the modern technologies.
The planned construction of the two new blocks, the new reactors at the Temelín nuclear power plant, has also very serious political and security implications, because we import nuclear fuel from Russia, and if possibly the contract is awarded to a Russian state-owned firm, then our energy dependency on that country will only increase. Won't our energy security be compromised by increasing in this respect the dependency on Russia?
I'm very sensitive on keeping Czech Republic independent of or not to become a hostage of the foreign basic energy sources suppliers. This applies for Russia, but it applies to all other potential sources. But if we don't go ahead with the nuclear energy, then and we have limited use of the lignite because of environmental and other issues, then the remaining source is gas. And what we are speaking about, who is the main and who can be the main source of supply of gas? Maybe not prevailing, but the bulk of the gas will again come from Russia. So your question in general is right, but it's not correct or is not entirely proper when we discuss the internal energy mix, given the limitations we have in the Czech Republic. But there is any other question. As we already said, given the slowdown of economic activities after the crisis, and I believe that this slowdown will continue over a whole decade we are facing to now, so that means that the growth will for a long time not be as it was before 2008. Maybe just purely on such an economic thinking, given also the financial constraints, etc., maybe the blocks 3 and 4 of Temelín will be postponed. The construction might be postponed maybe to the second half of this decade or something like that. But this is up to people in ČEZ. I'm only displaying my intuition.
Given the current state of Czech politics and the way political parties work in the Czech Republic and how they trade with interests, and how corruption has reached really high levels within those parties and outside them as well, do you trust the Czech government to make the right decision, bearing the country's best interests in mind rather than being prone to all kinds of lobbyists?
I'm definitely fed up, and I'm going to use this word because then I'm going to say something different. But I'm fed up with the level of corruption in this country. I'm fed up with the way how the political parties, be those who are now forming the government or be those who are today in opposition, how indeed are interlinked with the vested interest groups and the other people. But this is the foreign broadcast of the Czech Republic, and we should be representing our country in a proper way. And let me tell you that corruption and vested interest, especially in terms of the large energy project, are behind the decision of many, many governments, or because it's not only about nuclear project, it's never only about the government, it's about the very powerful energy companies, construction lobbies, etc. So it's always a matter of a particular country, particular society. And here I trust that the decision of the Czech establishment, which is going to decide about the nuclear power, will be able to decide in a proper way. I personally believe that if the transparency is maintained, then the Russian supplier will not be selected, not because it's Russian, but because it will not be competitive. But again, this is my intuition, nothing else.
Speaking of transparency, when you left politics in 1997, the Czech Republic ranked 27th on the Transparency International Corruption Perception Index. We ranked 53rd. Why do you think that is, given, of course, that the 1990s were generally considered very corrupt in the region, in the post-communist region of Central and Eastern Europe?
Well, I was living, and I was living after the massive privatization took place. Some of them were well done, some of them, unfortunately, did not. Or weren't done as well. In many cases, everybody who was in the government faced the accusation of corruption. I can tell you stories about it. At the same time, I believe that to some extent the Czech government and even the other governments in the region, maybe with some notable exception, allow me not to name them, were genuine in their effort to transform their economies from the communist central planning to market economy. With the development of time, when countries and the economic systems matured a little bit, also the structure of the ownership, different vested interest, financial and real economy groups started to be too much interlinked with the politics. And look at Poland, look at maybe not so much in Poland today, but back 5-7 years, look at Hungary 2 years ago, look at Slovakia 3-4 years ago, look at Romania, Bulgaria. Everywhere there is a very strong, there are very strong complaints about corruption. Yes, I admit that in Central and Eastern Europe, the level of corruption is about, let's say, a certain standard, and it's very bad. But I tend to believe that this is a kind of a wave which we must be patient to expect that again is going a little bit to diminish, and we will come to some standard of interaction of mighty groups of the private sector and political parties and government. And the last remark, again, because this is the international broadcast, there is a feeling that corruption in a particular country can be cured from outside. Yes, there might be some help, but the bulk of the work must be done at home.
Vladimír Dlouhý, a respected Czech economist, was Jan Richter's guest on One this week. Now it's time to brush up your Czech. Due to its enormous popularity with listeners, Radio Prague is now repeating its Sound Czech language series, and this lesson is with Rosie Johnson.
Welcome to another edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language programme which helps you learn idioms through song lyrics. Today, we'll be listening to a song by the legendary duo Jiří Suchý and Jiří Šlitr called Pramínek vlasů, which translates as a lock of hair. The phrase to listen out for is Je totiž neděle a mám dost času. Je totiž neděle a mám dost času translates as it's Sunday, you see, and I have the time to. To do what, you may ask? Well, the answer comes in the previous line, when Jiří Šlitr sings Nebudu vstávat, dál chci ležet zasmění, which means I won't get up, I want to lie and daydream some more. It's Sunday and the singer má dost času, he has enough time. As an aside, I had a quick ask around the office for what the Czech for a long lie or lion is. The closest thing to a lion I could find was lenošení. A lenoška is the Czech for chaise longue, but the verb lenoši just means to laze about in bed. Finding out the Czech for a long lie was pretty darn hard, but maybe that's not surprising in a country where people routinely and voluntarily go to work at around 7 in the morning. But back to our temporal časové idioms. Time in Czech can fly as it does in English. When you're having a good time in this country, čas letí, time flies. Unlike in English, however, time in the Czech Republic can also run. Čas běží, or time is running, just means that time is passing, or in some situations that it's flying. But čas běží, I think, maybe suggests that while time is speeding by, it isn't going quite as fast as when čas letí. So, time runs in Czech, and when it starts to speed away from you, you can say čas ubíhá, time is running out. Čas ubíhá as far as the sound check is concerned, but before I go, here are a last few time-related phrases to mill over. When time is dragging by very slowly indeed, as in English, you find yourself having to zabíjet čas, or kill time. If you want to say time will tell in Czech, then you say čas ukáže, time will show, which is quite a philosophical note on which to end this sound check. But it's nejvyšší čas, or high time to sign off. So, naschledanou, goodbye, and mějte se, take care.
You will find the entire Soundcheck series at www.radio.cz, along with all of our programmes in text and sound. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you as always. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.